I'm Dr. Orion Taraban, and this is PsychHacks, Better Living Through Psychology. And the topic of today's short talk is women are dirty. Now, I don't mean that they're physically dirty. I mean that women's minds are full of dirty, dark, and twisted desires. To be fair, men's minds are the same way, but men already have a reputation for this. Girls, on the other hand, are presumed to be made of sugar and spice and everything nice. And I'm here to tell you that is far from the truth. So we can consider this an extension of an episode I made a while back called Every Woman is Two Women, in which I attempted to explain that every woman carries at least two personalities inside of her. One is the public-facing persona that she uses when she goes to work and rides the bus and engages with her friends and family. And the other is the bedroom persona that comes to life behind closed doors. And it's very difficult to make accurate predictions about the bedroom persona simply by viewing the public-facing persona. That said, we can make some reasonable generalizations derived from psychological truths and observed behavior at like the population level. When we look at these sources, we see that women's desires are much, much more socially unacceptable than they are typically considered to be, and that these socially unacceptable desires tend to cluster around fairly predictable themes. First and foremost, let's examine what we might consider the prototypical feminine romantic fantasy, namely Beauty and the Beast. Beautiful Belle explores her Stockholm syndrome kink and falls in love with her monstrous, aggressive captor, despite his grotesque appearance. The conventional interpretation of this story is that the purity and patience of Belle's love transformed the inhuman beast into a handsome gentleman, who she was somehow able to perceive beneath the surface. It's what's on the inside that counts, right? But this interpretation lacks parsimony. It's actually more straightforward to posit that Belle fell for Beast because he's beastly, it's in his name, not despite the fact he was beastly. Let's consider. We often speak of nefarious men who see women purely as objects of sexual conquest, men who are solely interested in adding another notch in their belts, as it were. However, this is not an exclusively gendered practice. Women also see men as objects of conquest, albeit potentially a conquest of a more emotional or psychological variety. Women can and do desire to conquer men, and the paramount conquest of a woman is domesticating the bad, dangerous, unbreakable man into her pet. I'll say that again. The paramount conquest of a woman is domesticating the bad, dangerous, unbreakable man into her pet. This is the challenge that women pine for. They're like horse whisperers on the lookout for the Mustang no one else can tame. This is the female equivalent of the challenge depicted in, say, Dangerous Liaison, in which Valmont seeks to seduce the chaste and engaged Cecile. The fact that one conquest is more or less sexual and the other is more or less emotional is kind of beside the point. In fact, because it's emotional, such a conquest is much more likely to be complete and enduring relative to a sexual one. And if we understand Beast's monstrosity to be a feature, not a flaw, with respect to Belle's attraction, a lot of otherwise mystifying female behavior starts to make sense. Belle is into bestiality. I mean, I don't know how else to say it. She could pick any man in a 50-mile radius, and she chose an animal. And this, of course, is why the story has to end when it does, with the transformation of Beast into a gentleman. After all, if she fell in love with a monster, how long do you think she'd be interested in a gentleman? She could have had one of those from the get-go and spared herself all the trouble. Belle has succeeded in her conquest, but in so doing, she has undermined the basis of her own attraction. So I don't have high hopes for the longevity of that relationship. We undermine the bases of our own attraction to our own detriment. Just like Don Juans lose interest in a woman after they possess her physically, the Bells of the world lose interest in a man after they possess him emotionally. They want to tame the bad boy, but when they succeed in doing so, they are no longer interested in him. And they typically have no compunction about moving on to more exciting opportunities. Introducing my innovative first novel, Starry Night. Step into the world of painter Vincent van Gogh. Genius, sinner, prophet, madman. Relive the final 10 weeks of his life in this breathtaking tale of art, love, loss, and meaning. And challenge what you think you know about life and relationships. Once you see through Vincent's eyes, the world will never look the same again.
Starry Night. Order your copy today. The links are in the description.
Now, we have to remember that this heartwarming tale of conquest and bestiality is the all-ages version of the story. When we approach content that is created exclusively for adults, we see these themes even more clearly. Romance novels constitute the majority of best-selling fiction today, with over 60% of Kindle bestsellers coming from that genre, a figure that is largely driven by the popularity of romantasy books in which romance and fantasy elements are blended together. And who are the male protagonists in these works of fiction? You already know the answer. You guessed it. Monsters. The most mainstream examples here typically involve run-of-the-mill monsters, creatures like vampires and werewolves, whereas the choice of species grows increasingly outré as you make your way off the beaten path. For instance, a very popular example these days is Morning Glory Milking Farm, in which a young millennial woman gives hand jobs to minotaurs in order to pay off her student loans, eventually falling in love with one of her bullheaded clients. Trust me, women's hear-me-outs are far, far more deviant than men's. But our society more or less completely disavows that these desires exist. Speak to them directly, and you're much more likely to get slapped or hit with an HR complaint than to find a willing and eager participant, which is probably why women are increasingly retreating into a private world to satisfy them. And this doesn't stop with text-based fantasies that they read for the story. For instance, women's use of pornography has absolutely skyrocketed in recent years. Whereas pornography functionally used to be an exclusively male space, women now constitute around 40% of all consumers of that content. It's basically half and half. And we know from their revealed preferences that the types of pornography that men and women tend to consume exhibit marked distinctions. For example, pornography that depicts violence against women is far, far more likely to be consumed by women than by men. Hitting, slapping, humiliation, even simulated rape. These are some of the dark fantasies associated with the kind of deep submissiveness for which women cannot find a socially acceptable outlet in today's day and age, especially in a culture in which describing women as anything other than powerful and dominant is functionally viewed as misogynistic. These desires have not been extinguished. That's not how desires work. They have simply been pushed below the surface into a psychic space where even many of the women themselves do not understand them. In any case, all of this can be understood as a kind of antithesis to the looks-maxing trend in many male circles today. You don't have to go to Korea and get a facial to get laid, my dude. Being pretty and attractive can help you get girls, yes, but paradoxically, so can being ugly and repulsive. Like being rough, rugged, burly, beastly, monstrous, even to the point of being repulsive, seems to exert a strange power over women. This could potentially be an artifact of sexual dimorphism. If prettiness signals femininity, then what is diametrically opposite to that, in this case, ugliness, would signal masculinity. As a man, you actually don't have to be good-looking to get women, though of course it helps. And I'm going to end this episode by putting a thought into the minds of every man out there. My guys, every time you get nervous about approaching a woman, every time you think that she is out of your league, just remember, she has fucked an uglier man than you. So buck up. What do you think? Does this fit with your own experience? Let me know in the comments below. And please, send this episode to someone who you think might benefit from its message, because it's word-of-mouth referrals like this that really help to make the channel grow. I know you know someone who needs to hear this. Do your part. Send it along. Other value propositions. Anyone looking to join my free weekly newsletter or book a paid one-on-one consultation with yours truly can find out more on my website. There's also my best-selling book, The Value of Others, in which I explore intersexual dynamics, and my private member community, The Captain's Quarters, where, among other things, I host bi-monthly group consultation calls. The links to everything are in the description below. A lot of great content there for you to consume. As always, I appreciate your support, and thank you for listening.